It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. You look out your window if you're in the southeast and you're just shocked. You're shocked that it's actually a nice day. It's blue outside. After so many months of just gray rain day after day, I can't remember a Sunday yet in 2019 where it's been a nice day. Ryan Neely and I are just talking about there's a sheen, a glow on the roads, and they will be actually dry within the next few hours. Unbelievable. And I know it's been all over the country. So it's not just, if you're listening to the podcast, you live in the Midwest or you live in the Northeast or you live in the West Coast. It's been the same thing because we've just been dumped on, but it's morning in the Southeast again. And it's not even March. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What are we talking about here today? Well, this is a year of extremes. And continuing from last week's theme, complete 180 turns in sentiment, in the Fed, in China, U.S.-China trade, in markets, just every big hanging chad economically from last year that pummeled the stock market at the end of 2018 has seemingly reversed course so far. So what do we do in the face of just such extremes? Do you trust this rally? Do you run for the hills now that we've made back so much of those declines from last year? Where do we head from here? And then the tax story. There is a tax story that nobody is talking about. Nobody's talking about it except Ryan Neely and me here on a Sunday morning. And maybe after today, there'll be a tax story. This is a tax story that people are talking about. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. And then an article we just wrote this week called Round Trip Robin. And it was inspired by a call from last week, really kind of the coolest grandmother that we've experienced in years here on Money Matters. Round Trip Robin, who we have dubbed her, that's not her real name, but we're going to call her Round Trip Robin, taking a trip around the world with her husband and a safari for 10 to Tanzania and Kenya later next year. How do you fund something big like that? The story of Round Trip Robin. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. And of course, your calls. So Ryan Neely here with me, along with me, Wes Moss, here on a Sunday morning to take your calls and questions. And maybe it's because the weather's been so terrible in the Southeast. People are just sitting around inside, trapped inside. And we've had just wonderful calls after calls that we're just doing live here on Money Matters like we love to do. And those calls really are the most helpful. Time and time again, we talk to our listeners. We get emails from listeners, and they say, hey, we love hearing the calls and caller questions because we're thinking the same thing. You know, not that many people are brave. I don't know what the statistics are, but it maybe takes a little bit of... I have to be a little bit brave to call in on a radio show, I guess. I'd never done it until I heard Walter Reeves on The Garden Show one morning and said, I've got a dying plan. I need some help. Well, if you've got something amiss when it comes to retirement planning or early retirement planning, there's so many of the folks we've talked to this year that their companies are kind of saying, hey, you know, maybe we want to give you a package to leave early. Here's a lump sum versus you've got to either take this lump sum over here or this monthly amount over here. Which one's a better choice for you? Are you being surplus to the company that says, hey, it's time to go. We have too many of you. Surplus. Well, again, it's kind of the word of the year so far here on Money Matters. The worst corporate word since synergy is now the new worst word that I've ever heard when it comes to corporate America is surplus, because it's a way for them to try to make saying I'm laying you off, I guess, better corporate speak. Anyway, it's an awful word. It's the worst corporate word of all time, but it is the top of the corporate depth charts, and it's called surplus, and it just means we're getting rid of you early. But when that happens, what are all the planning ideas around that? What do you have to do with your pension? What do you have to do with your 401k? What do you have to do to keep the taxes low and your income higher when you get into retirement? Maybe it's a couple years early. So these are all the things we are happy to talk here about on Money Matters and answer your questions directly. So for the next 2 hours from 9 until 11, good morning, and give us a call here in the studio. We will get to your call and we will answer your question. It'll be helpful. Your call and question will be helpful to the world. The number here, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio, or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Real easy to remember. 1-800-WSB-TALK. And we will go to the phones here. We're just opening up the phone lines, ready to go. This morning, though, let's talk about this week, a week of extremes, another positive week for stocks. 9 weeks in a row. Positive stock market for 9 weeks in a row. 2019 continues to be the year of complete 180-degree turns. The Federal Reserve has done a 180. At the end of last year, it looked like they were going to raise interest rates into oblivion. Their foot on the accelerator, really the brake, if you're looking at the right analogy, breaking the U.S. economy, slowing it down with higher interest rates, that just has stopped. Meeting after meeting after meeting after press conference, Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, just said, hey, no, we're not doing anything. No more rate hikes, nothing for the foreseeable future. And then it wasn't that long ago that it looked like the U.S. and China were so far apart on trade that nothing would happen throughout 2019. And we know that the March 1st deadline ramps up all these tariffs that are already bad, going from bad 10% tariffs to worse 25% tariffs. And now, even this week and last week, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, saying that's not exactly the date. We've got some movement. As long as we're making progress, we're fine with the March. We'll go past March 1st. We're fine to blow through March 1 as long as we're making progress. And right now, for at least today, the U.S. and China are making progress on those talks. And then, of course, what that has meant for stocks, again, just a relentless sell-off of 2018 towards the end, and now really almost a relentless rally now in its ninth week higher. Dow Jones and the NASDAQ have yet to register a weekly decline so far in 2019. That's the first time since 1964 that Dow's rallied each of the first 9 weeks of the year. It's the first time in history that it's happened for the NASDAQ. So the Dow and the S&P 500 are now up about 11.5% approximately on the year. The NASDAQ's up even more than that for the week, up about 0.5%. So we have really just climbed back from the depths of despair in 2018. This week, the Dow, again, up about 0.5 of, let's call it 0.5%, S&P 500 about a little more than that. That's the longest, so 9 weeks in a row, it's the longest streak, right? It's the longest streak since May of 1995, as far as a nine consecutive weeks, higher and higher and higher. NASDAQ, again, if you look at what happened this week, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Alphabet, all close higher. So the FANG stocks working again. Just a week of extremes. So when we're talking extremes here, we talked a lot last year about reversion to the mean. Remember we talked about this reversion to the mean when a trend seems unending or overdone. It just relentless like it was at the end of last year. And it's anytime we get an extreme in either direction. So when you get into a negative pattern that seems beyond the norm, and certainly last year was in that case, not that we don't have bear markets over and over and over again, but the speed and the veracity of the stock market waterfall decline was an extreme. And we've seen that happen in the opposite direction. So we've seen kind of an extreme to the higher here in 2019. But anytime we see that happen, we know there's got to be some sort of adjustment, right? And in this case, so it's an extreme imbalance, or any sort of time that there's an extreme event over a certain period or over a short period of time in markets, they tend to correct themselves. December of last year, that was an extreme. Every bit of good news was turned to bad news by the market. Relentlessly stocks were falling. Drops induced more drops. Pain begot pain, all against a backdrop that really wasn't that bad. So far this year, the reversion of the mean has been in the opposite direction. And we spent a lot of time in our outlook. So we gave an outlook at the very beginning of this year, so call it almost 2 months ago, in our 2019 outlook, discussing the importance of several different economic events whose outcome was, remember we were talking about this, teetering on the fence between glory and disaster? And they've all teetered towards glory. And then now sentiment, and that's again, trade, China, and the Fed, or trade with China, the Fed, and then the really, at that time, the government shutdown, that looks to be taken care of. And then it's all worked in the positive direction for stocks. But just because the sun has never come out like it hadn't for the first 2 months of 2019 doesn't mean that you scrap all your goals. And it doesn't mean that you scrap your balance for stocks and you scrap your risk tolerance or your savings rate or withdrawal rate or any of the number of the important disciplines that you know you need to stick to. And just because markets have been behaving now and the sun has come out and we've seen outsized gains and we've seen the best start that we've seen to a year in decades, it doesn't mean that it's going to just be all rose petals and Kit Kats for the rest of the year. That's not how markets work. Markets work in fits and starts, feast and famine. And for now, we'll take these gains and this improved sentiment. And it's been wonderful in 2019. But just like the late, great John Bogle said, when times are tough, press on regardless. When times are good, we have to do the same. And that's exactly where we stand today. Do we have to see a little bit of a pullback or consolidation or just pause at least in this rally? Absolutely we do. Does it mean we're going to go back down to the lows of 2018? But we're going to, at some point, have to take a break here with stocks. We're going to have to see a consolidation. Let's call it a down week, for goodness sakes, at some point. The market has to take a rest. But it doesn't mean that then we have to jump out and panic on the other way. We need to press on regardless with the goals that we have, the allocation that we know that it works for you, and we press on regardless. Good morning, as we do the same here. With Money Matters, I'm your host, Wes Moss. We'll go to the phones here, number 404-872-0750. More Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Wes Moss and Ryan Ely here to take your calls and your questions. The number 404-872-0750. Hulan from Smyrna is on the line. Hulan, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help? What's going on, man?
Well, I am an old retired guy, 70 years old, and most of my money is tied up in my IRA. And what I've tried to do in my IRA is concentrate on, I think, what you call income-producing stocks, like I have a lot of AT&T, a lot of Ford, a lot of Altria, the high-yielding stocks, you know. And so I'm just wondering, how safe do you think those dividends are on those high-yielding stocks? Because they probably make up over half of my IRA.
They do. For some context here, when we're talking about dividends, let's go through and see what these pay. Altria. Right now, Altria, which again spun off Philip Morris. Remember, Philip Morris PM right. Is the international version of the old what was Philip Morris is now renamed in America Altria, symbol MO. The yield right now is almost 6%.
Right.
So it's got a really significant dividend, market cap. It's almost a $100 billion company. And I have actually a lot to say on Altria. It's an interesting article this weekend at Barron's because it's hard to, you know, it's the environmental social investing screen, let's say, they call it ESG, is so dominant today or it's so prevalent today that the author that was writing about Altria this weekend in Barron's says that even talking about owning Altria is two notches below kicking a puppy. Actually, I believe they said two notches below cursing and kicking at a puppy, which is kind of, you know, that's how taboo it is to talk about. It's almost like much more mainstream to own a cannabis company today than it is to own a cigarette company, God forbid. What's interesting is that these big tobacco companies are in every main space now. So if you look at Altria, it owns a dominant player in the e-cigarette business, buying Juul, which it took a 35% stake in Juul a couple of months ago. It paid almost $13 billion for about a third or 35% of Juul, valuing Juul at $38 billion. And they had to take on a lot of debt to do that. And that, I think, is the real question for you in all these companies is the debt load. They did the same thing with a cannabis company called Cronos. They put about a little less than $2 billion into these companies. If you look at AT&T, dividend is almost 6.5%. If you
And then Ford is over 7%.
Yeah, if you look at Ford, it's 6%.
Really, AT&T is my number one go-to. It's probably 20-25% of my portfolio, and then probably Ford is another 10%. And then I try to concentrate on, you know, just the high-yielding stock.
Well, Hulain, I'll tell you what. We got to go to a quick break, my friend, and I'm going to come back and answer your question on these companies, and we'll talk about the sustainability of that dividend. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, finally sunny in the Southeast like it should be. So good morning. Welcome to, again, we'll continue to go to the phones here. We've got Hulain on the line. We're going to go to the phones here. The number again, 404-872-0750. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK if you're outside of Georgia. Remember, you can listen to the podcast here. Go to Spotify. Just look for Wes Moss Money Matters or iTunes, any place that has podcasts in a world that – let's go to Hulain. Hulain, let's go back to your question about – you have a bunch of AT&T and Ford and Philip.
That's my number one holding in my IRA. That's my IRA is really kind of my retirement money. And so I'm trying to get, you always talk about income investing. So, AT&T, it seemed to me, was a great stock because of the yield. And I'm just, you know, a little bit worried sometimes, are they going to be able to continue that good dividend? That's kind of my worry.
And I think that this is an important question because everybody has to, you have to worry about that exact same thing. There are plenty of stocks out there that pay 5% and 6% and 7% and 8%. You can get yields in almost any environment. The question is what is the price you have to pay? So it's no
right.
good, right? It's no good if you own a stock that has a 9% yield that seems and this is a pretty common question I get is that, hey Wes, there's this company that's paying 9% or let's say an ETF or some sort of closed end fund or something that's paying 9%. But if it's so you're getting 9% cash flow, that's great. But if it's losing 15% a year, then that's no good, right? And that that happens all the time. Investors, particularly if you're not really looking at the details behind these companies, you can very easily get tricked into saying, "Well, it has a really good yield. I'm going to own it I'm going to own it for the yield." And then you look up a year or two or three later, and it's down significantly more than what you've received in income, and that's no good. When it comes to income investing, what I really want to see is what. Almost think of it as a Goldilocks yield where it's not too high and it's not too low, not too hot, not too cold. It's kind of somewhere in the middle because we have to go back to and remember we're all after the same thing, total return. Total return, that equation, Hulain, is pretty simple. It's just growth plus income. The growth side of the equation is highly variable, whether it is a growth stock or a value or mature company like Altria or Ford or AT&T. These companies are very mature, but we still don't have, they're still at the mercy. Their stock price is at the mercy of A, the stock market in general, and then B, the underlying balance sheet and how the business is doing. The income piece, which is the second piece of the equation, on a portfolio level is a lot easier to control. Because you can have a whole, you could have a dozen or two dozen companies that are all contributing to the cash flow. So you want to have dividend income from a whole suite of companies, an interest income from a whole division, if you will, of bonds. And then there are all these other areas that also pay cash flow in the form of what we call distributions. The pipeline companies or energy pipeline companies, that's a area that does this. REITs, real estate investment trust, they pay out cash flow. So if you put all that together in your portfolio, some from a macro level, you should have a lot of diversification of how you get your income. And right. You don't want to get too tied up with a couple of companies. And this happens all the time where I'll see somebody that has had one big position that's, say, inherited over time. And they look at it and they say, well, it's paying me 3.5%. Well, if you could do something about diversification, and let's say there's not a tax issue to deal with, and you could go ahead and diversify, then why wouldn't you want, and let's keep this simple, why wouldn't you want 12 things giving you 3.5%, because that's easy to find, versus one company giving you 3.5%. I'm a big believer in diversifying how you get your income. Let's go to your question, though, when it comes to AT&T, Altria, which is the old Philip Morris, and Ford. Ford, let's just look at this, is the, again, top down here, macro picture. Ford has $220 billion in liabilities. $220 billion in liabilities. The market cap of the whole company is only $35 billion. Altria has about a $100 billion market cap, and they have $40 billion in debt. A lot of that just came with the Juul acquisition. And then so you look at AT&T, they have over $330 billion in debt, and it's a $226 billion company. Now, you need to look at the cash flow side, and that's the next step to say, okay, can my cash flow cover my liabilities? I've got to be able to cover those debt payments. And in a lot of cases, that is not a problem, but sometimes if too many things go wrong, it can very quickly, when you're highly leveraged, and are highly levered, and you're levered 4-to-1, 5-to-1, a lot of things have to continue to go right. And the minute multiple pieces of the equation start to go against you, that's when companies sink really quickly. And then they have to do these emergency dividend cuts and stop paying out. It's a lot like what happened with GE. So I would be really careful here when it comes to owning too much, particularly with Ford. And again, remember, I can't make specific jump up and down recommendations to buy this or sell this. But if I'm looking at my portfolio, I'm really not comfortable with a whole bunch of Ford. And I know that that is a big chunk of what you own. Altria, that's whether you like the tobacco story or not, that's not relevant here to your question. Your question is, hey, are they going to cut their dividend? I think that company is probably a little safer when it comes to servicing that debt and being able to pay that debt. We're just talking about this from a cash flow perspective. AT&T, I believe, is okay as well. That's a company that I'm a little more comfortable with. But out of those three, I'd just be really careful if to own too much Ford. There's just so much leverage there that as a stock really scares me. As an investor, when you're talking about your IRA here, and that's what Hewlin is talking about here, there's no tax implications to do some rebalancing. If you owned a ton of Ford and your cost basis is 50 cents in Ford shares, that's a tougher equation to take the tax hit in order to diversify. But when you're an IRA, there's no excuse. There's no excuse not to diversify because there's no tax consequences to do so. So Hewlin, that's my take on this. I'd be careful of having too much of your income investing pie in just one basket, or you're all of your income it coming from three companies. I think that is too much focus, too much pressure on the portfolio. So from a bigger picture perspective, I would absolutely be thinking about diversification from here on out. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. As we continue to go to the phones here. Now we're headed to Ray in Gulf Shores. Ray, good morning to the welcome to Money Matters. How can we help?
Good morning, Wes. I know that that you can donate appreciated stock to a charity and avoid the capital gain and still take the deduction. However, I have been told that you can make a contribution from a traditional IRA and take the deduction. And here's something that doesn't sound quite right. Take the tax.
Make it count for your RMD. That's what you're talking about, right, Ray?
Well, I understand you can make it count for your RMD, but can you also take a tax deduction for the contribution?
All right, here are a couple of things. No, that's too many pieces of good news in one line, one rule.
What it sounded like to me.
So again, right. So here's what Ray's asking is that you've got, once you get to be 70 and a half, you have to take money out of your IRA. It's called a required minimum distribution. The first year, the way the calculation works out, it's a little less than 4% is what you have to do. So think about it. If you have a $100,000 IRA, you're going to be forced, and there's some other rules around the timing on this the very first time you do it. But let's just say for the most part, the way this works, you got to take about 4% a year in order to do this. So you got to take about $4,000 out. The question, though, is that Ray knows that you charitable contributions from an IRA are qualified charitable distributions. They count. Yes, you can make charitable donations from your IRA, and they count towards your RMD. So that they can go straight from your IRA to a charity. You satisfy your RMD, and they count as that satisfies the RMD. However, you're not able to take a deduction as well on the taxable side, right? They're not taxable, so you don't get taxed for it. That's good, but you can't also get a deduction as well. That's too many pieces of good news all in one. But thank you for the question, Ray. Anytime we do a tax question too, remember that everyone's tax situation gets pretty complex, extraordinarily complex. And you've got to go and always check with your CPA because the tax code looks like three phone books put together. It's that complicated. And there's so many caveats and there's so many nuanced situations that anytime you're doing any sort of new tax move in any given year, you've really got to look at and go get into the weeds with the CPA and make sure that particular rule applies to you. The other thought here when it comes to using a CPA, the tax planning for the next year is so important to figure out. Now, if you're working and you've got two W-9 paychecks or you're a W-2 employee and you make your 401k contributions and it's real simple, then sure, you can do your own taxes. You can use TurboTax. But particularly as you get into retirement and you've got a bunch of different income sources from maybe rental income and you've got IRA money, retirement money, you've got after-tax money, and let's say you have some low basis stock, you sell that low basis stock, you're trying to keep yourself in a really low tax bracket when you get into retirement, which is one of the unsung benefits when you head into retirement. Your tax bracket typically can go way down. So when you're working and you're making a bunch of money, you're used to paying 30% in taxes. If you're listening to me today and you've been husband, wife, both working, when you're in your high income years, in your 50s and your 60s, you probably feel as though you're paying at least a third in taxes. But the good news is for the vast majority of Americans, even if you have a couple million dollars saved, when you get into retirement, the way taxes work is that you typically are able to bring down your overall effective tax rate by a very sizable percentage. I work with families that have a couple million dollars that used to pay 30-35% in taxes, and now that they're in retirement, they're close to that 15% tax mark because FICA goes away. For the most part, Georgia state income tax gets reduced dramatically once you hit 65. So there are a lot of pieces of the equation, and then you can manage your income, particularly before you get to age 70 and a half, before those RMDs, so that you keep your adjusted gross income as low as humanly possible. And that is a big piece of the equation when you're doing retirement planning. We're going to run here, then we're going to come back to Money Matters, go back to the phones. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Phone lines open, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can find me and Ryan and the Money Matters team throughout the week. Easy to do so at yourwealth.com, yourwealth.com. There is a contact button upper right-hand corner. Those emails come straight to me and Ryan and the Money Matters team, and we'll get back to you within 24 or 48 hours with your specific an answer to your specific question, and we are happy to help. More Money Matters straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. We just talked taxes for a minute, and I want to talk about this called the tax refund ruse. Story after story has been talked this so far this year, 2019, has been talking about how there's been a reduction in tax refunds. As of this past week, it was down. The refunds are down almost 9%. If you look at the average refund, which is about $2,700. We're talking about, first of all, let's quantify what that really means. So 8.9% of $2,700, the difference in those tax refunds, it's about $240. So it's not, we're not talking about a massive amount of money here. For the most part, that's because the reason it's slightly lower for the average American today is because paychecks throughout the year had adjusted their withholding. So this is through 2018. And Americans were getting slightly higher paychecks throughout the year. But just because your refund is a little bit lower than it was last year doesn't mean your taxes went up. What matters is your overall tax liability. And with the doubling of the standard deduction, most people in America, about call it 90% of Americans, are going to see a net tax reduction as of last year. Here's the untold story in 2019, though. There will actually be more net tax stimulus this year in 2019 than we saw last year. Last year, the boost was about $100 billion. So 2018 tax boost for individuals ended up being a net of $101.7 billion to be exact. There was $300 billion in cuts. And then there were about $200 billion worth of tax increases for a net of about $100 billion back in the pocket of Americans in 2018. There's going to be double that in 2019. And that's a story that nobody's talking about. 2019, there are $460 billion worth of tax cuts. There's about $250 billion of increases for a net tax decrease in 2019 of $213 billion. The $213 billion in net money back to Americans, that's twice the stimulus that we saw last year. Where do the cuts come from? Well, there's a lower overall income tax. So federal income tax brackets, those scales are slightly lower. A larger standard deduction, a much doubling standard deduction. The alternative minimum tax that hit so many Americans, that the major reduction in AMT or alternative minimum tax, a higher child tax credit, and then a small business deduction. So we could get this virtuous. So there's all this talk about, hey, we're going to get a... This is just a sugar rush and it's a one-year thing on taxes. I just don't, that's just not economically true from my view. Is that you're going to see, this is a longer story. It's the opposite of a sugar rush. We can get a virtuous cycle here created from lower taxes, more consumer spending, more jobs. And we could see a virtuous cycle from this these tax changes, not just a sugar rush. It's the untold story of 2019. Your calls, your questions here on Money Matters in the 11 o'clock, in the 10 o'clock hour. More Money Matters straight ahead.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning and welcome back to Money Matters here in the 10 o'clock hour. Your calls, your questions, and the happiest round the world retiree today here in the in this hour of Money Matters. And really this came about because I got a call. We got a call on the last episode of Money Matters, and it just brought up it from a retiree that was doing a huge round the world trip in addition to a safari. And it brings up all the things that we love to talk about here, which are experiences for happy retirees. And what are you going to do with your money? We know that happy retirees have 2.4 vacations per year, rather 1.4. There's some other research that I have done post my first, you can retire sooner than you think, as I work on an updated addition to that or an updated research or taking that research further that I want to talk about today here on the show. And it kind of starts to, what piqued my interest with this call is that it really brings together all so many of the pieces of the puzzle that come together to make for what we consider the happy retiree. And it's no one thing you can do to make sure you're a happy retiree. It's a series of habits that we've studied over the last half decade to really understand what are the 5 to 8 things you need to do to be a happy retiree and land yourself in that camp rather than the unhappy camp. And it's not just money. It's a combination of financial decisions, along with how we're spending that money. So yes, we have to have a certain amount to live in America and do what we want to do. The next piece is how we are spending that money. So what are you really, what's the focus of that? And then, and the focus of your time. How are you spending your time? Are they the core pursuits that are, how many of them do you have? Are you super busy in retirement or not? And then the family dynamics that come along with that. And that kind of what prompted this story here is a call last week on the show from probably the coolest grandma that's ever called into Money Matters and asked about. And so this is the story. We'll call this the happiest round the world retiree. And the story of round the world Robin, as we have dubbed her, who needed advice on how to pay for kind of this epic 50th anniversary trip with her. With her husband, and also this another massively fun trip, this African safari with her kids and her grandkids. How do you put all that together in the most tax efficient way? Because it's a bunch, it's expensive. How do you do that in retirement and avoid or not avoid, but be smart about it from a tax perspective? And that's what we're going to talk about here today. Now, the next piece of the equation is what if you're playing catch up and you're in your 50s? There's also a lot you can do when you turn 50 to really play catch up for retirement. And I've seen families do this all the time too. This is another story that I've written about, is that you may find yourself in your late 40s or even early 50s and way behind the eight ball from where you want to be saving money. Happens all the time. It's the norm. You're behind because you've got kids and they're getting through school, and it's really hard to save in America, and it's really hard to get to $1 million or $2 million or $5 million. It's a massive mountain to climb, and a lot of families can't even really get started on that until they're 50. Sure, it's great to start when you're 22. Of course it is. Kind of the number one thing you can do to amass a lot of wealth is start early. Of course, right? But most families in America, the majority of folks don't start in their 20s or their 30s, and they're just trying to pay bills and they can't start even in their 40s. So there's a lot you can do in your 50s. So I want to make sure people understand that it's not over if you're 49 or 51 and you're still way behind the eight ball. There's a lot of metrics. There's a lot of things that can help you play catch up to do so. And I want to go. So these two stories kind of tie together. I was writing about them both this week, and I thought, well, here we have an example of someone who's able to spend this. We'll talk about the financial piece of this in a minute. Able to spend a ton of money on these two big trips, where you also have folks that haven't even gotten started. Let's talk about how we can play some catch up in our 50s. So that's what we're going to talk about here in this 10 o'clock hour. We'll also go to the phones here. Give us a call in the studio. Phone lines open. Ryan Ely and I here standing by to take your calls and your questions here on the show. We already answered some great questions about income investing, companies that have maybe a ton of debt. What do you do? Are dividends safe? The top three questions that we talk about here on the show. What are you doing to create or generate more income from your portfolio? That's one. Number two, this whole question that is such a giant theme in the Southeast, with companies continually downsizing, continue to lay off people, but usually there's some sort of offer tied to that. Maybe you get a whole year's worth of salary. Maybe you get 6 months of salary or a year. In some cases, I've seen 2 years to leave early. And you may not have planned on doing it that early, but you have an incentive now from the company to do so. And then you've got to make all these other decisions on what do you do with what's called a lump sum pension? Do you take that amount, roll it over to an IRA, create your own pension, or do you let them kind of, quote, guarantee you a certain amount of money for the rest of your life or your spouse's life? That's the question of lump sum versus a monthly pension. If you have a question, and there's so many variables that go into it, it's a pretty common question because they're all different. If you're faced with that decision, there's a lot of things to think about. So we love to talk that through here on Money Matters. Question three, what's a reasonable annual rate of return I can expect once I stop saving to keep my principal intact? What is your withdrawal rate? What is a safe way to look at that? It's not just a hard and fast answer. There's a lot that goes into that. There's the 4% rule. There's $1,000 a month rule. There's the question of how early you're retiring. Are you doing it really early in your mid-50s? There's a different answer to that versus if you're 65 versus if you're 75. So the unique fingerprint in financial planning comes up here on the show. So your questions are helpful to everybody else listening. So give us a call here in the studio. The number here, 404-872-0750. Whether you're on your way to church or at this point, maybe you're done church, you're headed home, going to brunch with the family, or just you in the car, the number 404-872-0750 here in the studio, or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Again, 1-800-WSB-TALK here live on a Sunday morning. Happy to take your calls and questions. So we get back to this story of round the world robin, as I've got a writing about what I think such a cool, it's just a cool story to really think about. And how this grandmother, which we're deeming the coolest grandmother in town, how is she able to do this? So here's a disclaimer about round the world robin. Robin is a rare breed of retiree. She is blessed with, let's call it a trifecta. She has ample income. She's in good health and lots of mobility. So she can take a trip around the world, and we'll explain what that is in a minute. And she's got a family that wants to hang out with her too. You know, these are all happy retiree traits. You've also got to have a family that wants to go on a trip with you. So this is, you may not, as you're listening, you say, well, that's great to have $1 million to be able to, and then spend 250 grand on a trip. But there are parts of this story that I think you can relate to, if not the entire thing. The Round the World Robin is looking at a multi-week trip around the world on a it's private jet, but you're with a whole bunch of other people taking this trip too. From the sounds of it, you look it up, it's National Geographic does these trips. There's a lot of versions of these. And on the same flight, and as you go from city to city to city, it's with these top historians, and it's with anthropologists, and it's with photographers. So you can go to all these different areas in the world. Think about Easter Island, the Great Barrier Reef, and land and go visit these landmarks of the globe. Now, it's not cheap, of course. It's about, I'm going to round up here, call it 85,000 to 100 grand per person to do this. So she's budgeting for about 200 grand. Once in a lifetime expedition with her husband for a 50th anniversary, or 50th anniversary. So when she returns, round the world robin, will trade the all these architectural marvels that she gets to see, Taj Mahal, Machu Picchu, to to go to Africa, to go to Kenya and Tanzania, and she's going to take her kids and her grandkids for this massive safari trip. Now, this is going to be another big chunk. Now, we don't know the exact number here, but call it 50 grand. It could be 100 grand, could be 150 grand. Let's call it, just for round numbers, she's spending 200 grand on the round the world trip. She's spending 50,000 on the safari. So she's spending $250,000 for two trips right now over the next year. That's a huge dent for even Robin's retirement savings. So how does she indulge it? How does she do this? How does she get this free spirit living without needless loss on the tax side? So again, let's take a look at the finances here. $500,000 in retirement money and $1 million in non-retirement money. So investments outside of her retirement account. What does she need to do to make this work in the most efficient way? We're going to talk about that when Money Matters returns. And again, your calls here as well in this 10 o'clock hour, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. And we're going to go to the calls in the bottom of the half hour. But before we do that, we've got to kind of we're talking about round the world robin. And this applies to any time you have a big expense in retirement. It doesn't have to just be going on a trip. It'd be nice, right? But anytime you need a bunch of money for something big, maybe it's something as unfun as putting on a new roof. And it's 20 or 30 grand or new HVAC or renovating a house, something like that, you're going to have, how do you access a big chunk of money in retirement? Well, here are a couple of the, anytime you've got a big purchase, there are a couple of basic rules we need to follow. Number one, we want to try to stay away from retirement accounts. So balance, that may be where you have most of your money. And that's where your balances are most attractive. But big spending from these areas can easily bump up your tax bracket. And withdrawals are going to be taxed as ordinary income, which is typically a higher rate for most people than after-tax money, provided you keep your tax bracket low. So number two, look at your cost basis and sell some of your losers potentially outside of your retirement account. So generally, if you've got a diversified non-retirement portfolio, there's going to be things that have done really well. And let's say you've got, it's done well over the years, but not every piece of that does well. So any diversified retirement portfolio or assets, not necessarily in an IRA, but an after-tax account, you're going to have a few assets that have underperformed. Sell them to limit the capital gain exposure. Now, if you've got no big underperformers and everything in your account is in the positive, look at what we call lots. Often securities are bought, or if you're reinvesting, you might have 1,000 shares of something, but you've got 15 different cost bases for that 1,000 shares. So open that up and say, okay, I can sell this lot because it has the highest basis, meaning that if I sell it, I have the lowest capital gain. And then four on this menu of what do you do for a big purchases. If you know something's coming up in the next 9 to 12 months, make the sale now, knowing that you can now put that money somewhere that is safe. And because the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates so many times over the last couple of years, you can now at least get 2% in a money market, 2% or even higher on that safe money, knowing that you're going to use it. So if you look at all of this, there's the other thing that's going on here is what I call time horizon shift. As Robin's retirement has progressed, her time horizon has evolved as well. Now that she knows that her own finances are set for her lifetime and for her husband, she's starting to think about her legacy. She's starting to think about her assets are going to impact her kids, her children, and her grandchildren. So she shifted her investment time horizon from her and her husband alone to, all right, what about the rest of the family? And we talk about time horizon all the time. Callers will say, hey, Wes, I don't have a lot of time. But if you're not going to spend all of that money during your retirement, then really the time horizon isn't just you. It isn't just you and your spouse. It might be now you and your kids, you and your kids and your grandkids. So you get this what we call time horizon shift is certainly something to think about. All right, we've got now, what if you haven't done this? What if you haven't done all this planning like Robin? Well, there's a lot of ways to play catch up in your 50s. We're going to talk about that at the bottom of half an hour. Stay tuned. Right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Wes Moss, your host. To take your calls, questions, 404-872-0750. And we're going to do that in just a minute. I wanted to finish up with the story of Round the World Robin. We talked already about how to financially most effectively pull out a big chunk of money, whether it's for a trip or something as unfun as putting on a new roof. We went through the things to think about with that. We talked about time horizon shift. But remember, too, the what makes for a happy retiree, and that's the other thing that I was excited about writing about this, excited about writing about Round the World Robin, is that happy retirees understand that I call these hobbies on steroids, core pursuits, a regular dose of hobbies that'll keep your adventurous spirit or your curiosity is an essential for a happy retiree. Happy retirees have 3.6 core pursuits. Unhappy retirees have 1.9. There's a statistically significant difference between those two. And I write about this in my book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think. So if you haven't seen it, you can find it at retiresoonerbook.com. RetireSoonerBook.com, or just go to Amazon. I think it's actually cheaper on RetireSoonerBook.com. But the five money secrets of the happiest retirees. So you've got a couple of major themes in this book, but a big part of it is what are the decisions you're making that makes for happy retirees? Here's some newer research that I've been writing about. That has to do with family as well. So every family has their issues, right? Not every family has everybody get along perfectly. But I found that the happiest families are close, figuratively and literally. Of those I surveyed, the retirees that lived near or close to at least half, and this is interesting here because I see this play out in real life all the time, but this is the data here from a survey I did. The retirees that live near or close to at least half of their children were five times more likely to be happy than those that did not. Five times more likely. So if you've got four kids, it doesn't mean you have to live near all of them, but you want to live within, call it driving distance of at least two of them. And if you do so, my data shows that you're five times happier or five times more likely to be in the happy camp for those that did not. So there's a lot to think about here in her story, but to me, it's kind of an inspiration to really think about. Now, I want to talk about if you're behind. If you're not Round the World Robin, you haven't figured out all of your if you haven't figured everything out financially, and you find yourself at 50, what are the ways you can catch up? What are some of the ideas that you can start to think about now in your late 40s or your early 50s and really pour it on and catch up to retirement savings? We're going to talk about that in a minute. I do want to go to the phones, though, and answer at least maybe one more phone call here on a Sunday morning. The number here, 404-872-0750. We'll go to Michael in Douglasville. Michael, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help?
Morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good, good. What's going on?
Well, in a nutshell, and I'll give the Cliff Notes version on all this.
Thank you.
I haven't had very good experience on finding somebody that I can, in short, trust on who's going to be looking out for my best interest on in, on the investing. I'm self-employed. I had a little bit of retirement that was that came from a former employer that I used to work for. I've invested with a couple of different folks that were supposed to be with some well-known investment groups, and I've lost money. And
well,
I'm trying to find somebody that I can talk to.
So you've kind of Michael here is asking about how, where do you find help that seems to be maybe aligned with you, and it, you haven't been able to find that. All right, now, just because it's a big name, if it's a Wall Street firm, and I don't, there's a lot of good folks, by the way, Michael. I got my start in the big firms, and you know, I think of Merrill Lynch, UBS, Morgan Stanley. Those are good. There are a lot of good advisors at those firms, right? These are people that really do care. They really do want to make money for you. Now, the model there I didn't love because it's not a fiduciary model typically. There's some of that now at the bigger firms. But just because you're with a big firm doesn't mean they're going to do wonders for you. And it doesn't mean they're going to make money all the time. But here are three things that you need to think about. When I think of if you're trying to find advice and you're trying to find somebody to help you, for God's sakes, you've got to find somebody that's fee-only. And a big brokerage firm isn't necessarily fee only. They have programs that'll be fee only, but they are not fee only means that's the only thing you do. So if you are a firm that also charges commissions and takes fees on annuities and a ton of other areas to make money for the brokerage firm themselves, then by default, they are not fee only. They can charge you a fee annually, but there's a ton of other things that they can charge you for. So number one, it's got to be fee only. Number two, you need to find somebody that's a fiduciary. A fiduciary, by default or by definition, is someone that needs to invest for you or on your behalf in your best interest. Not their best interest, your best interest. And the big Wall Street firms, they've got a bunch of shareholders, and that's who they care about. They don't necessarily, not that they don't care about their clients, but they've got, who are they putting first, right? You've got to put, typically, if you're a big publicly traded company, you're putting your shareholders first. What's the maximum amount of profit we can make? And you are doing what's called prudent investing. So it can be good for you, but also good for them. That's not a fiduciary. So you've got to find a firm that's fee only and a fiduciary. That's number two. And number three, you're going to, you know, advice isn't free, of course. If you're going to have an advisor, you are going to pay what you want to be paying, let's call it 1% a year or less. And if you go, there are a lot of programs out there that might charge you 1%, but then you've got a bunch of other mutual funds, a bunch of other costs, and you're really paying 2%. That's what you need to avoid. So if you have those basic fundamentals in check, Michael, you're going to set yourself up for a relationship that is in your best interest and they're really working with you, right? So the advice, having an advisor isn't going to be free. But it doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. It doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. And then it can be worth every penny over time. The third piece of the, or the fourth piece of the equation, let's say, now that I'm talking about this, I would also look for a place that is multidisciplined, meaning that you've got a, not only from an investment standpoint, but they could also help you if you want them to, with tax. So you want to have a firm that also has some sort of affiliation with a CPA or a tax firm so they can also do tax planning, number one. Number two, healthcare, especially if you're a small business owner, Michael, there's a lot happening on the tax side for small business owners this year. The healthcare, you want help with healthcare at some point. So you want a place that maybe thinks about healthcare planning as well, and then estate planning. Or elder planning for your parents or for you when you get to that point. But that's, so think of a place that doesn't just do investments, that isn't just fiduciary, that isn't just fee only, but also is multidisciplined, that thinks about all the other really important pieces of the equation. And there are a bunch of firms that do that. So, and you got to give it time. These relationships take time. I've been doing this for 20 some years as an advisor, and not every year is awesome. Right. If you go through the financial crisis, what you're trying to do is you're mitigating downside. You're not in 2008, 2009 or 2007, 2008. It's not about how much money you were making. It's about how do you kind of get through a really dark time in the market with limiting the damage so that you can press on regardless when times get good again. That's my take on this, Michael. But you've got to really look for a place or a firm that does all the pieces I just talked about. There's a lot of good folks in the Southeast, here in the Atlanta metro area, of course, around Georgia, that do this. But take some time, sit down with a couple different folks, read the websites, read the research, do some research about it, and then see who's a good fit. That's really what matters, is that you've got to, once you check all the logistic boxes that I just went through, you got to have a good fit. You know, you've got to be able to sit down with someone or a firm and feel comfortable. Got to be a good relationship fit. You've got to have a good personality fit with someone as well, beyond the fee only, beyond the fiduciary, beyond the right fee, that it's cost effective. And you have to trust these people and you have to like them. And that can make for a really good or healthy long-term relationship that can really, really pay dividends over time. And Michael from Douglasville, thank you for your call. The next part here is I want to get through catching up. Not everybody's going to take $250,000 trip around the world, like round the world robin. But if you're trying to catch up and you're in your 50s, what are some of the things you can do? We talk about the kind of a basic budgeting strategy. We call it TSL, which really stands for taxes, T, savings, S, L for life. Taxes, savings, life. Under that approach, and I think that this makes even more sense as you get in your 50s and your earnings are as high as they can typically are. You're kind of maxing out your earnings, and hopefully your kids are now starting to get out of college or getting through school. And now all your financial resources are going to you and your retirement. Under this approach, think of it as 30% of your income going to taxes, 50% going to living, and then 20% going to savings. You get into your 50s, that 20% might go to 30%. It might go to 40% because college is paid for, the kids are starting to be out of the house. Now your savings can go from what it should be long-term, which is at least 10. You can go to 20, you can go to 30. Can maybe even go to 40% of your gross income as you get into these stages and college starts to get out of the way. How do you play catch up though with your contributions? Well, under the new rules in 2019, the contribution, once you hit 50, you've got a new set of how much money you can put away. So for an IRA, you've got your $6,000 now for 2019, but you can now do another, but you still have a $1,000 catch up. So if you're 50, you can do $7,000 in an IRA and up to $25,000 in a 401k. The basic maximum right now is $19,000. But when you hit 50, you've got an additional $6,000 you can do as a catch up in your company retirement plan. You're talking about $25,000 a year in a 401k alone. You do that for a decade, you give it a 5% annual return. So let's say you say, okay, I'm going to max out my 401k. That's all I'm going to do new. And I'm 50. If it grows at, let's just call it a conservative 5% a year, from 50 to 60, what does that mean? It's $300,000 in additional savings between age 50 and age 60 at a 5% rate of return. $300,000 that maybe you've never saved at all, or in addition to what you already have. When Money Matters returns, you're going to talk about a mortgage. We're going to talk about your allocation to stocks as you are trying to catch up in your 50s for retirement. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Go to yourwealth.com. Those email, go to Y-O-U-R, yourwealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, yourwealth.com. Those emails come straight to me and Ryan Ely, and we get back to you within 24, 48 hours, and we're happy to help throughout the week as well. Stay tuned right here for News 95.5 AM 750 WSB when Money Matters, straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back. Some Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, playing catch up with your contributions. When you turn 50, you've got some advantages on how much you're able to save pre-tax. You're allowed to do an extra $6,000 in your 401k, in addition to the $19,000 max, which is new for 2019, for a total of $25,000. So if you're trying to play catch-up, imagine if all you do between today at age 50 and age 60 is put max out the 401k, $25,000, grows at 5% a year, you're going to end up with an extra $300,000 plus for retirement. Number two, as far as your mortgage, so what are you thinking about, again, post 50? Happiest retirees enter their post-career life either mortgage-free or within 5 years of hosting a mortgage-burning party, right? That is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get rid of the mortgage as you get into retirement, right before or in the first few years in retirement. In my book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, the happiest retirees figured out a way to get out of mortgage debt. There is tremendous satisfaction that goes along with that, whether it's happiness or satisfaction or feeling a sense of relief. As years to pay off mortgage goes down, happiness goes up. One of my favorite charts in the book is it's a wonderful relationship. As years to pay off mortgage goes down, happiness goes up as that light at the end of the tunnel gets brighter and brighter that says no mortgage. That is a wonderful place to be. And finally, stick with stocks. Don't be afraid just because you're getting close to retirement. Don't just ditch stocks because you say, hey, and this is a question I get all the time. Wes, is it safe to still be in stocks because I'm getting ready to retire, getting close to retirement? And it's a legitimate question because stocks are inherently riskier. There's a lot more volatility. But it's helpful to remember that stocks, to continue to remind folks that stocks, that's also higher rewards significantly. And there's no perfect answer to this. Here's a guideline we like to use. It's called the 1550 stock rule that says if you believe you have at least 15 years left on this earth, you should have at least 50% allocated to stocks. Now, that's not for everyone. If you're really, really nervous about your balances going up and down, then this might not work for you. But for the most part, you want to have, even in retirement, 50% allocated to stocks. And then the remaining balance in these other areas that are perceived as a safer place to be, whether it be bonds or cash. So the stock allocation can be either dividend payers or growth stocks. I'm partial to the dividend side. That's what we do. Do we have a prize pack? Oh, Brian, quick prize pack.
We do indeed. The weekend prize pack is two passes to an advanced screening of Captain Marvel Tuesday, March 5th at Regal Atlantic Station. Set in the 90s, Captain Marvel is the first female-led film of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and arrives in theaters Friday, March 8th.
The savings race to retirement. Just remember, listen, you know this, it's a marathon. Hopefully you've kept up a good pace. But regardless of where you are at age 50, know that if you kick up your efforts at this point, it can make a huge difference of where you finish. Find me and the Money Matters team throughout the week. Go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Hit the radio tab to listen to these shows or go to iTunes or Spotify, Wes Moss Money Matters, and have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Stay tuned to the best program on the planet right here, News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.